Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we turn to God's Word this Lord's Day, we turn to 1 Kings chapter 9, beginning at verse 10, reading through the end of the chapter. So let us read together the Word of Almighty God. Now it happened, at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house, Hiram, the king of Tyre, had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress and gold as much as he desired, that King Solomon then gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. Then Hiram went from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, but they did not please him. So he said, "What kind of cities are these which you have given me, my brother?" And he called them the land of Kabul, as they are to this day. Then Hiram sent the king 120 talents of gold. And this is the reason for the labor force which Solomon raised, to build the house of the Lord, his own house, the Millo, the wall of Jerusalem, Hazor, Megiddo, Gezer. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Gezer and burned it with fire and killed the Canaanites who dwelt in the city, and had given it as a dowry to his daughter, Solomon's wife. And Solomon built Gezer, Lower Beth Horon, Bala, and Tadmor in the wilderness and in the land of Judah, all the storage cities that Solomon had, cities for his chariots and cities for his cavalry, and whatever Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and Lebanon and all the land of his dominion. All the people who were of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, who were not of the children of Israel, that is, their descendants who were left in the land after them, whom the children of Israel had not been able to completely destroy, from these Solomon raised forced labor, as it is this day. But the children of Israel Solomon made no forced laborers, because they were men of war, and his servants, his officers, his captains, commanders of his chariots, and his cavalry. Others were chiefs of the officials who were over Solomon's work, 550 who ruled over the people who did the work. But Pharaoh's daughter came up from the city of David to her house, which Solomon had built for her. Then he built the Millo. Now, 3 times a year Solomon offered burnt offerings and peace offerings on the altar which he had built for the Lord, and he burned incense with them on the altar that was before the Lord, so he finished the temple. King Solomon also built a fleet of ships in Ezion-Geber, which is near Elath on the shore of the Red Sea, in the land of Edom. Then Hiram sent his servants with the fleet, seamen who knew the sea, to work with the servants of Solomon, and they went to Ophir, and acquired 420 talents of gold from there, and brought it to King Solomon. Thus far the reading of God's Word. May he add his blessing to it. As we continue to look at the life of Solomon, at the works of Solomon, perhaps we might be noticing that Solomon is very rich. He is a very rich man, and he's made the people of Israel very rich. In fact, later on it is said that in the time of Solomon, silver was of virtually no value, and gold was very common as well in Israel. And as we look at this passage, as we look at God's Word concerning these things, oftentimes people are worried about people that are rich. And we need to understand something, that there is no difference then between those who are rich and those who are poor. Christians need to understand this. Christians need to realize that God gives to both, and both are responsible to use what God has given to them in His service. I have often heard that money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And so we have to be very careful about what we serve in this world. There are many people who spend their time serving, running after money, as though that was going to save them. And it is not. It is going to lead them on their way to hell if they do not serve Christ first. I know those who are careful about their money and have much of it. And I know people who have very little. And I know people among both camps that are serving money. I know people who have served money so heavily that even though they've rarely had any, yet that's all their children, that's all their people around them understand about them. That money, money, money is what they're about. And we need to understand something. As Christians, whether God gives us great amounts of things or God doesn't give us much, we need to serve the Lord. And Christians, on the other hand, are often insulatory. They're afraid of working with people outside of the Christian community. And this is not how Solomon was, and it is not how we are to be either. We are to use those things which God has given the world and to offer them, to use them in service to God. And so the theme that we want to see in God's Word this morning is that God does not condemn riches. God calls us to use whatever He has given us for His service. God does not condemn riches. God calls us to use whatever He has given us in His service. And that's what we see Solomon doing in this passage. We see Solomon working with Hiram of Tyre. We see him extending his kingdom and his greatness in the service of God throughout the world even. And that's what we want to look at here as we look at God's Word. As we see then in verses 10 through 14, we see that Solomon exchanges gifts with Hiram of Tyre. Hiram calls Solomon his brother. In fact, Solomon and Hiram had worked together for 20 years long. And Hiram doesn't have a problem with Solomon's greatness. And this is the greatness of one that has not grasped that greatness, but of one who has earned that, who has served the Lord and has deserved it in certain ways. And so Solomon's greatness is given by God through the wisdom that God had given to him. And his wisdom was raising all those around him in greatness as well. And Solomon then gives a gift of cities to Hiram. These cities, very interestingly, are not approved. And yet Hiram still responds with a gift, a great gift to Solomon, 120 talents of gold. That's an awful lot of gold. And so Solomon has worked with Hiram. He has a working relationship with him. And Solomon continues to extend his greatness through building God's people, through building God's empire. Solomon continues to build to his heart's desire. He builds cities. He builds the Milo, which is protection within the city of David, from those who might come in. He builds the wall of Jerusalem. He builds the city of Hazor, of Megiddo, of Gezer, of Lower Beth-horon, of Baalath, of Tadmor. He builds storage cities, cities for chariots, cities for horsemen. He builds Israel for the service of God and for protection. He builds in Jerusalem and in Lebanon, and all of his dominion Solomon builds. He doesn't just hold it for himself. And Solomon utilizes the enemies whom Israel could not destroy, we read. Israel had some problems with some of the nations that were called to cast out of it Canaan and to destroy utterly. They had made peace treaties with some of them. Some of them they never could fully cast out and destroy like God had commanded them to. And therefore those enemies, the children who were left in the land, were put to forced labor for the purpose of building Solomon's works. We can read about this in Judges 1 verses 21 through 36. Solomon built much of what he built on the back of slavery. We have to understand something about the history of the world. The United States is the first country in world history built largely without slave labor under capitalism. Now, the false capitalism we have today is made fun of by our leaders and by those who would detract from it, not for problems with actually being a free market society, but because they have pressed what the United States used to be into crony capitalism and even into a part of fascism, which controls the corporations, and the corporations control the government. We all know about this. We all are sad about this fact. And yet, this is not truly capitalism. Capitalism profits everyone. And so the Israelites themselves were not pressed into slavery, but they were used as officials over those who were enslaved and to be parts of the kingdom which Solomon was setting up. We read in Leviticus 25:39, "If your brother becomes poor beside you and sells himself to you, you shall not make him serve as a slave." And Solomon was being careful about that. In fact, that's what we come to in verse 25. At this point, is Solomon remains devoted to God's worship. Solomon remains very carefully involved in serving God and in the feasts which God had set up for the Israelites, Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. "Three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place where He will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed." And we read that Solomon brought burnt offerings. He utilized those altars which he had been involved in making. And he keeps the feast which God had set up. He offers incense through the right channels, through the priests. Solomon offered incense to God. He was careful to keep God's teaching and God's laws about how a Christian was to live. Solomon continues to be committed to worshiping God as God had ordained. And this is very important. Sadly, today the idea of worship has gotten so muddled because people have no idea and churches have not taught on what worship really is. God deserves our worship. We are to give God His worth. God is first in our worship. We need to understand that. And then all of the other things that we think we need to get out of worship, God will provide. But that is not first. Those are byproducts of actually worshiping God as He has commanded us in His Word. And Solomon continues to build God's kingdom, and he trades with Ophir for gold. This is very awesome. This is very amazing what God does through Solomon in extending His kingdom. Israel had been placed on the crossroads of the world for the purpose of bringing the gospel to those who had not heard, and for the most part, Israel had been silent. And now Israel, through Solomon, is bringing that gospel to many who have not heard. Solomon's world did not end at the ends of his kingdom. He worked with those outside of his kingdom to enrich himself and to enrich God's people and to spread the kingdom of Israel. He works with Hiram. He works with his servants to send ships to Ophir, probably into India. Probably, most likely, Supara, 46 miles north of Bombay in India. 3 years' journey by boat is what we read here. And Solomon worked with those outside of God's people, serving God, using the things he was able to trade for the service, for the glory of God. And so, we need to understand something about using the world which God has placed us in. It's not about what we can grasp in this world. Sadly, that has become what it is. Or about working for the weekend, which is another thing that man seeks after, and we try to gain as much as we possibly can on this earth, so that we can have a good time when we want to have a good time. What is important about us is that we serve God, that we give glory to God in the things that He has given to us. And Solomon is at this point in his life. Yes, we understand that later on he's led away by the riches that he has acquired, by the women that he was seeking after. But we understand at this point that God is still the center of who he is. We see that in the earlier parts of this passage. We see that Solomon is devoted to God's worship. And he never really fully, I believe, runs away from that. And yet, certainly, he worships the false gods and things like that we read later on. And these are very large errors that Solomon does fall into. And because of that, he is not, according to God, truly honest and truly loyal to God. And so the kingdom is taken away from him. We need to understand something. Money, the things of this world, are to be used in the service of God. Whether we are given a lot of them, whether we are given very few of them, that's not the important point. The important point is how do we use them. And as we see here, Solomon wasn't insulated from anyone else in the world. He was very careful using those things he could trade for, going outside of the kingdom of Israel, so that he could enrich himself and thereby enrich God's kingdom in the service of Almighty God. We as Christians have every right to serve God using the things that God gives the world around us as we trade for them, as we use them, not for ourselves, but for the glory of Almighty God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. If you are closer to Dickinson, we invite you to First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. Worship there is at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings. If you would like to listen to this message again or to other sermons by myself and my colleagues, they can be found on the internet at worldwidewebsermonaudio.com under NPCRCUS, or just search for my name on sermonaudio.com. If Ashley or Dickinson are too far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, Golden Valley and Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.